Julian, you are Internet Coordinator at Reporters Without Borders. Why are Reporters Without Borders going into the Internet and taking care of bloggers?
Well, because actually we are a press freedom organization, a 20 years old press freedom organization. But we realize that in many countries, in many repressive regimes such as China, Iran, Cuba, or I don't know, like all the repressive regimes around the world, those who are defending freedom of expression, unfortunately, they were not a journalist, the journalists anymore, because in these countries, the press freedom doesn't exist. There's no independent TV, no independent radio, no independent newspaper. So how can you get and publish independent information? You have to do it through the internet. So we started realizing that we had to defend people, even if they were not journalists, who are really providing us with interesting, independent, trustworthy information on the internet. I'm talking about what we call cyber dissidents, people who set up websites, and also bloggers, because now bloggers in Iran, for example, they really are the ones which bring us great, good, and interesting information. Unfortunately, you won't find this information in the press. So we thought that even if they don't have a press card, they should be defended as well and respected.
And how do you defend them?
Well, I mean, we do exactly the same with bloggers as with journalists. We have several ways of acting. What we're doing is first we try to denounce what's happening in these countries, alert the medias on what's happening. So for example, if a blogger is jailed, we try to make the medias, alert the media and get lots of media coverage about him, because it's good, it protects him. Then we try to do some lobbying upon the governments. So we go to the French diplomats, the American diplomats, the German diplomats, and we ask them to take position on certain cases and to advocate for freedom of expression and to protect these guys. And then we're also trying to sometimes give money to the families of these bloggers, because when a blogger is jailed, usually is the one who makes the money and earns the living for the rest of the family. So we try to send them money so that the family can still live on. So basically that's what we're trying to do.
And you published the Cyber Dissident Handbook for bloggers, or how it's called. What were the reasons and what is the handbook about?
But again, we thought that these bloggers and cyber dissidents needed to be defended, we thought, like, how can we help them? So and I think one of the best way to help them, because we're talking about internet, which is a kind of a technical issue as well, we try to help them to set up, to help people in repressive regime to set up their blog, to learn how to set up a blog, and then to learn how to remain anonymous on the internet. Because that's very important if you're blogging from China, for example, because if you criticize the regime on the internet in China, you can be jailed for up to 20 years. So you have to be cautious. And that's why we gave some technical advice, handy tips, on how to remain anonymous on the internet using technical tools. And also we try to teach them how to bypass censorship. Because to be a good blogger, you need, of course, to be yourself independent. I mean, you need also to have access to independent information. Because blogging is all about, information. I mean, if you can't circulate information, you're over. Your blog will die. So we try to give again handy tips about how to circumvent censorship in every repressive regime of the world.
And is the handbook successful?
Well, unfortunately, in many countries, our website is blocked. So you can't. You can download the booklets on our website for free, of course. But the problem is, if you're in China or if you're in Tunisia, you can't access our website. So there's no way you can download this booklet. That's why we're asking other bloggers and other websites to publish our PDF file on their website, so that even if our website is blocked, still our booklet can circulate and be accessible on other websites. I hope you did it, Marcus, actually.
I linked to your website, but I can do it later. Yeah. Another thing is, we are in Tunisia. It's a repressive regime. Your organization had lots of problems before the summit and during the summit. Can you tell me more about it?
But first, we've been trying to organize what we call like a citizen summit, which was like a counter summit organized outside with the civil society, with human rights NGOs, because we wanted to discuss freedom of expression and the human rights in Tunisia, because we thought that it was unbelievable to have this like summit organized here in Tunisia where there's no respect for freedom of expression. So what we tried to organize this citizen summit, unfortunately the Tunisian authorities didn't let us do it. We tried to book venues, rooms to organize press conferences and this counter summit, and they didn't let us do that. They always found excuse that, well, you know, we are rebuilding these venues, we can't leave it to you, which is not true. I mean, we could have rented many venues. Well, so they refused to let us organize this citizen summit, and they even rejected our secretary general, because our secretary general tried to come yesterday at the WSIS to talk about freedom of expression, and he got on the plane, and when he landed in Tunis, there were policemen came. I mean, got to the airplane. They didn't even let him out of the airplane. They got to the airplane and told him that he couldn't stay on the Tunisian soil. So they flew him back, and now he's back in Paris. He couldn't even attend the summit. So I mean, how can you talk about freedom of expression in a country like Tunis? It's just not possible. It's a dictatorship.
Okay, I wish you good luck for the future, and yeah, many more media alerts to create awareness of freedom of expression.
Thank you, Marcus.
Yes, thank you for the interview.
And